Now then, I thought, just for Christmas, okay, and all the themes that we talk about, we know about, you know, the birth of Jesus and this kind of stuff, we would look at what it means to follow Jesus at this time of year, okay? What happens when the signs aren't quite followed correctly, or in this case, the sat-nav, and I'm sure there's a lot of high-tech gizmos involved with a shuttle. I've never driven one myself, but road signs we're familiar to. Sat-navs these days are something that we rely on, I certainly do anyway, but signs are very important for us when we're on a journey, when we're following something and we want to get to a destination, and there's a reason for going there. And for me, we have an element of trust, don't we? We consider that these signs are going to give us something at the end of it, that if we follow them, we will get to the destination that we want to do. Now, my sat-nav is set at Judith. Judith is, if you can imagine Tammy, but with a robotic voice, that is Judith, but she is very reassuring. I know that when Judith is giving me directions, I will get there, and she's really good. And I did have fun a few months ago. Sian was going out to Cowbridge with a few friends, and she said, can you get the sat-nav ready for me, set in the coordinates and away to go? I did that, but just for fun, without telling her, I set it as Yoda's voice. And Sian was most annoyed when she got back. They got there with Yoda, but she switched it off to get home again. So Yoda was good. Funny, but I haven't done that joke again, as you can imagine. But it's great. Download it for free. It's good fun. Okay, so that's when we're looking to get to a destination, perhaps when we're travelling and this kind of stuff. But what about guidance in life, maybe, where we're looking for direction, we're looking for some sort of sign or some sort of way forward in our own human efforts, in our own life experiences? Because sometimes we recognize in other people, we recognize skill, expertise, and experience. And sometimes we look to others for good advice and sound advice and this kind of stuff. And just perhaps in a typical lifetime or a typical season, we'd have a college lecturer or a policeman, a doctor or consultant, people who, you know what they're talking about. A boss, a spiritual leader, a manager, an army sergeant, our governmental leaders, people who we look to, you know, for guidance and for help and all this kind of stuff, because us as people, we know that we need good advice, don't we? We know that we need help sometimes, and we realise that we haven't got it all sussed and sorted out. So those are some points that we look and when we're following and looking for guidance. And so today, what I want to look at is consider, when we're experiencing and following God during the Christmas period, just look at three examples, okay? We're going to look at Mary's story, we're going to look at Joseph's story, and we're going to look at the story of the wise men from the East. And that was a very helpful clip earlier, just to get a little bit of background on that. So what were the heartfelt decisions going on in Joseph's life, in Mary's life, in their mind, in their heart, when these challenges, when the angel came to visit them, what was going on in their hearts? And what tips, perhaps, can we take on board today over this festive period? Now, this is going to be like a shorter kind of talk this morning, okay? Just some bullet points, some helpful tips, just in the Christmas period, because we're all ready to go now. I'm sure we're all thinking about the presents that we need to wrap and the person that we haven't bought for and the cards we haven't written. I haven't written one jot of a Christmas card this year. That's silly, isn't it? It's unorganised for me, but I've left it to Sian to do it all. Haven't I, Sian? No, she's shaking her head. No, I haven't. I haven't written any Christmas cards. So if you haven't got a Christmas card this year, apologies. I'll send you two next year. Now then, so what are the tips that we can take on board for this Christmas period? We look at Joseph, first of all. How did Joseph follow God? And Matthew records, right? Matthew records the whole lineage of Joseph, you know, Joseph's father and his father's father, and all the lineage of where he came from, because it's very important that they got that information in to see that actually Joseph eventually came from King David and David from Abraham, and it's all the Old Testament history and stuff like this. So Matthew captures all that in the Gospel of Matthew, okay? So here's some verses there, if you just want to have a little look at those and read them for yourselves as I'm speaking and talking here. We see that, you know, the Messiah, the birth of Jesus is going to happen, okay? And Mary is pledged to be married to Joseph. You know, we know that we're familiar with the story. She's found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, he was faithful to the law, and he didn't want to expose Mary unnecessarily, okay? Because obviously they would, you know, due to be married, this kind of thing. But of course, Mary is going to be pregnant with the birth of Jesus. And it talks about Joseph here, that he considers this predicament, I suppose, but an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, okay? So this is very helpful information from God, okay? So an angel comes to bring Joseph a message. And he says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So let's get into the thoughts of Joseph here. The young girl that he's going to marry, because Mary is a teenager, okay? She now is going to be having a baby. And of course, God says, well, actually, this is, you know, not just any ordinary baby here. But Joseph, of course, he's wangling this, he's thinking, what's going on, you know? And of course, we know that it's the Holy Spirit that can, you know, brings the baby into Mary's womb. And Joseph goes through this whole process of considering, you know, what should he do about this? And it's like a reassurance of God comes into his life. And it shows that Joseph is quite a measured guy. He's got extraordinary character and responsibility before God. He considers the history, because he's well-versed, he knows the Bible, okay? He knows the Old Testament scriptures. And he realizes, and through his thought processes, that he wants to honor God in all that he does. And we can see, you know, he's an ordinary guy. He's a carpenter, right? He didn't fancy being an electrician or a car mechanic, but he's doing a practical job as a carpenter, okay? And he does all that, and he gets trained up in that. And we see that he, you know, he follows the scriptures, and that he knows, as he's called, Joseph, son of David there. And he's pledged to marry Mary. So he's taken a plunge. When the angel comes to see Joseph, I think it's just a fantastic sort of way that God speaks to the heart. And I think a lot of us can understand that. We may not have been visited by an angel by any means, but I'm sure there's poignant times in life where we really sense the closeness of God. We really sense God speaking into our lives and our situation. And especially over this Christmas period, it's those moments where sometimes perhaps we'd be sitting down, you know, we watch a fair amount of telly, but it's like, you know, we're always longing for something more in God, isn't it? And I find that, you know, when all that is done and dusted, there's something about God that makes my life different, is what makes it worth living, is the God element and the God factor. In amongst the family and the relationship and the things that we're doing on the day-to-day, it's God who makes such a big difference. He gives us so much in our lives. And the angel connects Joseph to his history. He says, Joseph, son of David. And I think he connects Joseph's history. He connects it with purpose now. And that you know, you're going to be the father, you're going to be the husband of Mary and the father of Jesus. And he is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph is like, can you imagine this happening to you? You were going to be the father, like the mother of Jesus. It's like, my life has just changed slightly. And Joseph has gone through the thought process. He's wondered how, you know, he can split up from Mary, but in a good way, without, you know, exposing her, doing it discreetly. But the angel comes in. The angel connects Joseph's history with calling for the future. And God does that to us. He grabs us. He says, you know, this has been your history. This is today. And this, you know, can be the future for us. And they're great things that God does in our lives and in our heart. And Joseph takes things on board really well. And we can learn such a lesson from him. Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel reassures Joseph, do not be afraid. Do you know, in life, there are so many times that I need God to say, don't be afraid. You know, go for it. Do not be afraid. Get on with it. And we need that as humans. I think, you know, it's quite often where we need help in certain situations. Joseph certainly needed help here. And it's great to see God say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because sometimes we're robbed of confidence and we're robbed of moving forward and we're robbed of going forward in God and what God's called us to do because we're a little bit fearful. A little bit fearful perhaps of saying yes, of making a decision on my life's, you know, my life before me. But God comes in and says, you know, do not be afraid. I am with you. And here, you know, Joseph has some big news. Okay, so how do we deal with potentially challenging news like this? For Joseph, it's Jesus, a birth to humankind, which is going to change humankind forever. the history of all what the world is about today. Joseph is now going to be involved in this whole story picture. It's totally upside down changing experience for him. And I don't know if ever any of us have experienced an upside down moment in our lives where something has changed drastically and a chapter has just started to be written where things are going to be changing. I'm sure a lot of us can sort of witness that and say, Joseph, I know what's going on there. I may not going to be the father of Jesus, but I certainly do understand what it means to have a life-changing moment. You know, things like this can leave us possibly in turmoil, a turmoil of emotion maybe. But, you know, Joseph deals with things. He's known as a man of integrity, a man of character before God, and he's quite measured in his decisions. But even then, he still needs, you know, the comfort and the love and the grace of God involved in all of that. And he's a faithful follower. He's a faithful follower of God. And I think we can take on board from Joseph that in our calling before God, even in the big challenges, you know, we can be open to him. And we can say, God, you know, yeah, we need your strength. We need your confidence in all that we do and all that we say and all that the people that we relate to. We can approach and trust God just like Joseph did here. Okay, so he reads the signs of the Old Testament, the character of God through Scripture. Joseph understands all this, and he understands the reassurance that the angel is bringing to him, and that's why Joseph can make these yes decisions and, you know, keep hold of Mary and respect Mary and help her, you know, in the following season ahead of giving birth and remaining faithful to her. And faithfulness is a big one, you know, it's a big one in our lives. Joyce Meyer said this little quote, okay? Faithfulness is not doing something right once, but doing something right over and over and over and over again. And a very simple quote there, but a quote which I think, oh yeah, that's great. Because making a one-off decision to do something right or to be faithful in something, you know, that's fine for the then and for the now. But in the whole rhythm of life, you know, being faithful in our decisions and in our actions and in the whole journey, it's important that we're making those decisions time and time and time and time again. And that creates a character of faithfulness. And that is very important for us to take that on board, just like Joseph. So if you can imagine a musician or a group of musicians even, a guitarist, a bassist, if that's what they call, a keyboard player, a drummer, these guys will be hopefully skilled in the art of having rhythm. And when joined together, when they play together, there's a great song that's shared. And we've got a fantastic band here and a fantastic group of guys who serve us here, which is brilliant. But if you're not in rhythm and in sync, do you know what? It could sound a little bit dodgy, could it not? I'm not a music expert by any means. But rhythm is so important. And in life, to have a rhythm of faithfulness for us is very important. It's important that when we're living our lives, that before God, that we're faithful to him, that we're faithful to each other in our relationships, and that on the journey, when we're following God, is to keep up that momentum, that rhythm of faithfulness. Okay, so that's some great stuff from Joseph there. Now, Mary, what was going on with Mary then? So I'll read you a few verses here. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now, I love Mary's initial reaction here, okay? I love it. "Greetings to you, we're highly favored. The Lord is with you." Would you be fazed by that if an angel came up to you and said that? All right? I would be. That's quite unusual to happen on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? So Mary now, right? You can imagine what's going on here. And what I love is this. She is thinking, right, what's this all about? What is this all about? It says here that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. When I was in Swansea last week, okay, walking through the town centre, I could see this big, like, porter cabin up with signs and banners and everything, and these blokes, like, went out meeting the public and all that. I thought, what's this all about? Do you ever get that feeling? I thought, if I sneak past here now quick and don't make eye contact, they won't come and approach me. But as I was walking past this bloke, run out of the thing, got in front of me, said, football or rugby, football or rugby. Thought, both. I don't know what he was on about. Yeah, both. He said, great, here you go. And he gave me a poster. I thought he was going to sell something to me. Have you ever experienced that? You wonder what's going on. Are you going to be sold a timeshare? Are you going to be sold car insurance, Sky TV, double glazing? Are you, don't make eye contact with these people. Have you had a trip or a fall? You know, PPI claim. No, I haven't had PPI. I'm falling over. Leave me alone. Don't talk about it. And you wonder, what is this person going to say? Well, on this occasion, I was given a poster, and it was a poster of the rugby team, the Swansea rugby team. No, I'm sorry, I didn't say football. I said both, but anyway. So I brought the rugby poster back. It was about the safer Swansea, basically, with loads of tips how to be safe in the city, how to do things well in your lifestyle. Brought the poster up, nice, tidy darts. Then one of the guys in the office tipped a cup of tea over it. Not on purpose, it was accident. We let him off. It was a rugby poster after all, not to worry, but it was fun. But eventually we got to understand what this guy wanted from me. And here, Mary was like waiting for the sales pitch of what the angel was going to bring to her. And believe you me, she wasn't getting a poster. Oh boy, was she not getting a poster. She was getting God's son. All right, so I'm glad she stopped for a chat now. She was going to be the mother. She was going to birth Emmanuel, God with us. Mary, a teenage girl. All right? I don't know how old, 14, who knows, right? Let's say she's a young teenager. And she's been given the news from this angel that you're going to have Jesus. Now, how does she respond to that? I just want you to recall in your memory of when you've been sort of being challenged with something maybe that you have to make a decision on, something that may not be that comfortable, but you need to make a decision on it anyway, nevertheless. Now, for a young teenager, I'm quite impressed with what she does. She's obviously very scared, worried, and anxious. Just like Joseph, the angel reassures her, don't be afraid, Mary. God is a greater promises. When he challenges us with something or brings something to us, he doesn't leave us just get on with it and forget about us. He says that he's with us. Do not be afraid. You know, move on out. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you all the way. And Mary is amazing. After some dialogue with the angel, she says, I am your servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's the recognizing that we're God's servants, and Mary recognizes this, and the desire to see God's will come to pass. And Mary merges these things together. She recognizes that she's a servant of God, and she says, God, may your will come to pass. Some fantastic tips from Mary there. We can do that as people. We can recognize that before God, we're servants before him, and that we can see the will of God being outworked in our lives, in the lives of our family, by being faithful to God and to allowing God into our areas of our lives where perhaps we don't want God in there. And we can remember that Mary here was just a young teenage girl, okay? So there was decisions for Mary to be made. There was a way to go. And she says, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Again, she knew the Old Testament scripture. She was ready for the journey ahead, and her life, she knew, was going to be totally changed forever. And can we remember that time, a time of perhaps a birth in the family or a death in the family, a significant time where we know that our lives are now going to be different from these days ahead? And how do we cope with that? How do we deal with that? Well, Mary very simply just recognizes the call of God in her life, and she recognizes there's still an amazing future ahead, that there's still an amazing future ahead to see the will of God come to pass and to serve God faithfully. And, you know, it's great to hear Mary sort of how she responded to God. And, of course, Mary knew, and she was finding out that she was, you know, bringing up Jesus and, of course, having other sons and daughters along the way. You know, there's still a normal family, if you can say that, when you've got the Son of God in your midst. You know, it's still, as you read the scriptures, that, you know, there's still a normal family getting on with things, serving God, and of course, how, you know, Jesus, of course, is living amongst them and amongst the people there. God can use ordinary people who are available to him. God can make extraordinary things happen in the lives of ordinary people. And our character really is revealed by the way that we respond to the unexpected. Okay, and finally then, the last little tip that we can take is, how did the wise men from the east follow God? And there's this verse here in Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, we've seen a great little clip earlier on there that Suzanne showed for us. And Roman historians sort of describe these group of people, okay, from the Median tribe, the Medes, and they were part of the Empire of Persia, okay, so it's over in the east. And they became, in their history, a tribe of priests, okay? So I'll just give you a little bit of a background on them, just so it puts things into context for later. They were like the priests of Persia, a little bit like the Levites were the priests of Israel. And at these times in Persia, no sacrifices or anything or worship could be made without one of these wise men being in the midst and involved. So they had an influence there, okay? So they were skilled in philosophy and medicine and natural science. And in general, they were good, and you know, they were good men. They were like holy men in that sort of community. And in ancient times, a lot of men and women, people believed in astrology, okay? They would look to the stars for signs, into the heavens to foretell the future. And of course, we even see remnants of that today, isn't there? There's people who are still into, you know, reading the stars and seeing what's all that all about, okay? But these guys, even in those times, in these ancient times, they also looked to the heavens for guidance, and they, you know, they recognized the patterns that the stars made, and they were set, you know, as signposts, okay? But something special was happening at this time of the world. The earth was looking out for a savior. It was looking out for a messiah, looking out for a king, okay? And even the historians of the time were detailing this in their chronicles and in their writings, okay? Roman historians, and also Hebrew historians as well, okay? And they all were writing things that there was great expectation in the time that men were waiting to find the king of the Jews. Suetonius and Tacitus were two of the Roman historians. Matthew, listen to this now. You're good at history, aren't you? Tell me later if I'm wrong, if I've done my work on this. The Jewish historian Josephus also included there was great expectation that the Jewish people, that one of their people would become governor of the habitable earth. All these people were expecting something amazing to happen in these days. Okay? Great expectancy all round. And it was to take place. It was to take place. And these three wise men from the east who were reading the signposts, who were looking for the heavens, they were noticing that something was changing. Something was about to happen, just like we were seeing in the clip there. And of course, we know the old verse, how it goes, "We three kings of Orient are..." Do anyone know the next line to that? I didn't. I won't look it up, because I only know the joke. One in a taxi, one in a car, one on a scooter blowing his hooter, following yonder star. That's the only one I can remember. But when you go and find the real one, it's "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star." Some lovely words there. And they were following the star, of course, who's going to lead to Jesus. Now, on that note, just for a bit of fun, I'm going to tell you some other Christmas songs, okay, just as a little interim period here. Some three Christmas songs which have been misquoted, which were on the internet, right, so I believe it. And here they are, okay? "On the first day of Christmas, my tulip gave to me." Right, that's a good one. True love, it should have been. "Sleeping in heavenly peas." Not peace, peas. "And deck the halls with buddy holly." Three funny ones there. But anyway, getting back to it. The truth is, the wise men, these were guys who were looking out for God. Something special to happen, and everything within them, their profession, their time, their expense, meant finding this king. out of the comfort zones to pursue the King of the Jews, the Messiah. Okay. So what were they going to do? They were going to go to worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Now this is a little verse from Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. And I just felt there was a flavor from that verse which just meant giving of our all to pursue God, to pursue Jesus. And I just felt the wise men, they were up for it. All their life had been geared around, you know, reading the signs and being holy people in their community. But they realized something special happened here, that Jesus was going to be born. And they were giving it their all in their sort of whole profession. In all of their life, they were prepared to travel a long way to go meet Jesus and see him and worship him. And there's some great things that we can take on board there from the wise men. Is not to be afraid to pursue Jesus with everything. You know, don't be afraid to do that. If these guys can do it, so can we. Because he means so much to us. He's precious. When we find something so precious, when we recognize the value, we can give all for it. We can give our all to Jesus and realize and recognize him. So the gifts that they brought were gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold, the gift of a king, the king of metals. Very symbolic. Frankincense, the gift for a priest used in temple worship. As I mentioned before, an incense founded by the explorer Frank. Two people got it this time. And myrrh, the gift for one who is to die, used to embalm the bodies of the dead. You know, very symbolic, significant gifts brought to Jesus. Very symbolic and significant. So we're reading into now, thankfully, in the scriptures, it's all itemized there in detail for us. These wise men pursuing Jesus, they bring in these gifts. The gifts represent the king of kings, actually. Frankincense, okay, the gift of a priest, because, you know, Jesus brings us, you know, into God. He reveals God to us. We've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. And, of course, myrrh, embalming dead bodies. Jesus was to die, but to be raised from the dead and conquer in death. And we live in the benefit of that. So that is fantastic, okay? These things are very helpful from the wise men. So there's certain reactions, and this is the final thing in closing. There's certain reactions that take place when the name of Jesus is mentioned. We read about in the Bible that, you know, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. He saw that if, you know, the King of the Jews was to come to power, that his own little sort of kingdom, his own place, his own power, his own influence, you know, that would go, and he was concerned about Jesus. And the Herod's instinct was to destroy Jesus, to destroy, to get rid of him completely. And sometimes, you know, men and women, you know, they're quite aggressive towards Jesus. They don't want to know about Jesus. This is going to affect my life. Don't want to know. And then there was the scribes and there was the scribes and the priests who, you know, that Herod called. And their reaction towards Jesus is one of indifference. You know, we're getting on with our lives here, with our religious duties. Jesus has no relevance to me. Forget about him. Indifferent to Jesus. And sometimes people, you know, don't want to know about Jesus. But then for us, like the wise men really, is we can take on the reaction of adoration and worship and pursuing Jesus in this Christmas period especially, because it's brought to the forefront of our minds that Jesus is with us and for us, and we can worship him and adore him. And those really are just a few points from the wise men and from Joseph, from Mary, of things that we can take on board during this Christmas period. And we're going to get into some prayer groups just in a moment. Okay, there's a few with some small group leaders here. There's a couple of other people who are going to sort of lead through these groups. Just very simply, we're just going to spend just a couple of minutes just praying to God, to thank God for Jesus, a prayer of adoration, a prayer of thanks, and a prayer of following during this time. Because I think it's important during the Christmas period is to be on track with God, you know, because, you know, it's good to have a break and good to have a rest, but sometimes it just goes a little bit too far sometimes, you know what I mean? And I feel, you know, ooh, I feel a bit, I'm eating loads of chocolate, well, a little bit, turkey, you know, all that, watch loads of telly. And sometimes the spiritual edge, you know, we can miss it a bit. But I think just by sort of refocusing ourselves now is a great way to start the Christmas off, isn't it?